Now, broadcasting on StarWorldWideNetworks.com. It's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Art Rademacher.
Welcome back. This is week two of the Doctor's Guide Journey 2022 in the pursuit of personal transformation and mastery. I am Dr. Bart Rademacher from Prescription for Your Transformation and the Doctor's Guide, bringing to you insights from across the world, real conversations, real people, real success, and tapping into your authentic genius so that you can live the life that you desire by understanding how to tap into the brain intelligence, the body intelligence, and the energy intelligence. Therein lies many of the answers that we're looking for our own personal lives, so that we can live on our terms. In the pursuit of our personal transformation and mastery, especially in the turbulent times that we live in, the truth is, throughout history, turbulent times are a given. And we hopefully learn from them and don't repeat the same mistakes. As generations and cultures, we are indeed subject to the groupthink and the tremendous social forces applied upon us. As per Jim Rohn, we must stand guard at the door of our brain. And ultimately, we need to find within ourselves what is the truth. The truth as it relates to our model of the world or understanding of the world. This truth will be unique for everyone because, as we talked in week one, we are the summation of all of our thoughts, our experiences, decisions up to this very moment, all under the influence how we define ourselves, our identity, and our beliefs, values, and needs. I'll recap some of that in a moment, but first, we should all be able to enjoy the freedom of choosing our own thoughts and emotions and the ability to discover the truth for ourselves. As Viktor Frankl states in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any set of circumstances. Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust and became a prominent neuropsychiatrist in his time. We should also therefore wish upon ourselves to have this freedom and allow others that same privilege. Now, let's hear an interesting quote on selfishness. It is not selfish to think and do as you please. Rather, it is selfish to demand that others think and do as they please. Of course, as we think and do as we please, we must not cause direct harm. The Water Bears tribe, the Waitaha, live by this rule: do no harm. Or per Hippocrates, first, do no harm. I like to remind the listeners that all my podcasts are designed to give you the opportunity to evaluate new ideas, insights, or perspectives that I like to call practical references. Said differently, to help you discover what you don't know that you don't know that makes all the difference in your personal life. It's not about telling you what to think or do, but give you enough of these practical references that enhances how you think for yourself. Make better decisions that are good for you, good for others, and are good for the greater good. I can't see anything wrong with that. Can you? So I invite you to have an open mind to everything that I share, and then decide for yourself. You will find that some things will be perfectly aligned and others will not. You're free to choose. I'll always do my best to give supportive discourse, but ultimately, we all have to make our own decisions. And with everything I share and what others may share, I challenge you I challenge you to challenge yourself with these 7 questions. What am I focusing on? What does this mean? Is this really true? What if this is not true? What am I missing, or what do I not see or know? What do I really want, really? What will I now do? 7 easy steps. Each one, if answered with absolute honesty, might completely change the direction of your life. We cannot blame anyone else for what's going on in our own life. What's true is that we're using the software that we've been accustomed to all these years, like any computer. If it's not working for you, you must update that software. The danger, of course, what software are you now putting in? Who has given it to you? Do you have the courage to question? Or, as in my case, do you have the right amount of diligence to verify its appropriateness? You see, and now I'm talking just about my computer. I do pretty good with technology, up to a point. Some might disagree with me. Then I can do more harm, and I know this. As I'm doing so many things all at once, I do not always give myself the time to verify that a certain thing is either good for me or in good working order. Again, I'm still talking about my computer. You see, I have this bad habit when my computer stalls on me to just simply reboot the darn thing because I can't figure out what's going on. So rather than trying to figure out the root cause of the software problem, I just shut it down. Then hopefully, miraculously, it reboots and everything's fine. But by not doing the right thing ensures that this problem persists and potentially becomes a really big problem for me later on, that I'm actually ultimately forced to do the right thing. So where does this happen in your life? Where do you actually ignore the obvious for all sorts of reasons, pain particularly being the main one? It may seem at first that we just get caught up in this for convenience sake, to deny, deflect, or defend. It's what we do. Ultimately, it culminates into building of internal dissonance. And without properly attending to it, a cognitive dissonance causing general anxiety within. And if we're not clear what the root cause is, we then experience what is called a free-floating anxiety. And if you're up to date with the newest narratives of what is happening, free-floating anxiety on a large scale is what many people are actually suffering from today. Studies are saying that over 60% of the population in 2019 felt isolated and without meaningful purpose in life. This is a problem for all of us. And this is not a new thing. In fact, it is the uncommon person that always lives with a complete sense of contentment and happiness, oblivious to the turbulence around them. I met a person like this once, and I felt aghast at their awareness of all the chaos that was happening around them. But of course, those wishing to tackle the problems of the world are the very ones that provide solutions so that people like that can live in bliss. Part of me envied her. The other realization, which came much later, I was actually very happy for her and somehow privileged that my own journey was one of offering solutions and resolution to find personal freedom, and hence that's all the work that I do now. This person was driving her own bus the way she chose. It did not deter or impinge upon anyone else for creating their own reality. I think part of the problem is we don't have access or awareness of the very tools that can help us find our own contentment. With so many books written each year, and I believe the number is 2 million in 1 year, you know, you'd think that we all should have a smarter view of the world around us. And what about all those years of being an adult and all the things that we've been exposed to? We should know a lot better than we do now. Truth is, and so many previous sages have alluded to the need to to know oneself. Per Aristotle, 2,000 years ago, plus, knowing thyself is the beginning of wisdom. Or per Socrates, awareness of ignorance is the beginning of wisdom. We need both, and both are true. It's what we don't know that we don't know about ourselves and the world that affects us, that makes all the difference. In each of our realms, we must have the best possible awareness of the elements that directly impact us and how we impact the world around us. This requires critical thinking and awareness. And there are disciplines that address this type of critical behavioral therapy to improve people's lives. So once again, it requires having access to the right tools to do so. Remember that all behavior is motivated by positive intent, which means everything we do is motivated in some form or another to serve us based on what we believe is true and what we value most and our six behavioral needs. It does not actually mean that it is good for us, for that matter, or good for others. But it is motivated for a specific outcome that somewhere, somehow, we believe is the best thing. But this is where critical thinking and awareness must come in. We should all have the opportunity to access this type of programming. And all the deep work that I do is to discover more of that for myself and be able to share as much as I can with others. I stand on the shoulders of giants who've done all this work, who are presenting it in a wonderful way for all of us to get access to. But for whatever reason, we fail to do so, as in my own particular case. I trained for 17 years in medicine, and I grew up in 5 different countries. I spoke 4 languages. I read the Greek classics. I read many of the other early, you know, European philosophers, coming to a point where there was so much that I didn't realize that I didn't realize that walking into a personal development seminar absolutely changed my life over 20 years ago. And I didn't even know that that existed. So what's not in your awareness that could dramatically change your life right now? So in week 2 of the Doctor's Guide Journey 2022, in pursuit of personal transformation and mastery, your prescription is to be open, to try some new things, but also to verify for yourself with perhaps the 7 questions I gave earlier. You know, what is it that you're focusing on? Because what we focus on is now in our awareness, and what we're not focusing on is not in our awareness. And so if we give something a meaning, you know, what is it that we're focusing on to create that meaning? And what is it that's not part of that process, which may be very relevant to the situation at hand? So the second question is, what does it mean? So everything needs to have a meaning. We are creatures of meaning. You know, we cannot have an empty space. The reason Netflix series do so well is because the open loop keeps us engaged. We need to know what's going to happen next. It gives us that sense of certainty and security, you know, and a place to be able to navigate from, a reference point. Open reference points are something the brain doesn't like. What does this mean? And then, of course, is this really true? We must verify the truth about everything. At some point, you know, we could have enough satisfaction that we know that something is true. But when people just randomly say things without any kind of supportive evidence, we really have to ask ourselves, is this true? But then again, the things we tell ourselves about ourselves, as we'll talk a little bit later on, is this true about me, about what I'm doing, about what I'm thinking, or what I'm believing, or about my future? What if it's not true? This is a great question. You know, what would life be like if whatever it is that I'm being told is true is not true? You know, how would life be different? You know, and that's the scientific method. Rather than proving something, the scientific method is all about disproving something, because that's absolute. You know, I can prove anything to you based on the information that I provide you. But disproving something, I have to show you the facts that illustrate that something is not true. then the main one, I think, is critical, and the one that we probably most likely will not ask, unless you know to ask this question: what am I missing, or what do I not see or know? Because therein lies so many of the answers that we must have to make better decisions. If you just assume that you know everything right then, what if you're wrong? And then ultimately, what do I really want, really? And I say two reallys in there simply because, you know, with all of our algorithms and programs, we are looking to want something because we feel obligated to, or that's what we naturally think because of our culture or because of our upbringing. But is it what we really want? And there we need to be honest with ourselves. Are we doing things because of out of obligation, or do we really want to do this? And then the last question is, what will I now do? So again, what am I focusing on? What does this mean? Is this really true? What if it's not true? What am I missing, or what do I not see or know? What do I really want, really? And what will I now do? In fact, most of these questions are going in the unconscious mind or the other than conscious mind. But having better awareness, we can be more precise in our awareness and decision-making and navigating the world around us. And decide, is this good for me? Is it good for others? And is it for the greater good? To recap week one, identity, from Latin, identitas or identitas, what we repeatedly do, sort of like our habits. And as some might say, show me your habits, I will show you your destiny. Think about that. What we repeatedly do ultimately leads us to the final outcome. We are not sometimes one way and the next another. And how we do anything is how we do everything. The last one would often drive me nuts because it was just a reminder of my own inconsistencies as I was unwilling to accept something of myself. Being meticulous at the art and science of a plastic surgeon while being sloppy with the organizing of my papers or the stacks of papers in my own office. And truthfully, it just might seem how I would prioritize my time, but it did cause some dissonance to have a messy desk. While I persisted to try, how we define ourselves is everything. And having access to better ways to define ourselves allows us to not be burdened by the misconceptions we grow up with. In our beliefs and values, in order to be someone accepted, loved, and respected. You see, as social beings, we must belong. And it's way too frightening to find oneself alone or in isolation. And if you're finding yourself accepting that, then you're putting a lot of defense mechanisms in place to be okay with something that innately is not natural for our way of life. It does not support. And interestingly, and almost paradoxically, as technology advances, history has shown that isolation becomes even more likely, again, based on our global beliefs and values. So what are beliefs? As discussed last week, simply things that you know are to be true, based on either what you have learned from someone else or what you have learned by your own experience. So these beliefs will either serve us or they don't in our desire to live a fulfilled life. While a belief may not serve us, we may not have full awareness of this cognitive dissonance until the fortunate awareness tells us differently. The definition of insanity is appropriate here. The belief that doing the same thing over and over again will deliver a different result. While beliefs help us navigate the world that we live in, we also have to have a mechanism to test these beliefs. Awareness of the results in our beliefs and actions is a test. Are we actually getting the outcomes that we want with the behavior of thought or thoughts we decide upon? Wanting to believe something is a different matter. And this is the territory of values and needs. In all, we can trust what is being told of us, but we must make the effort to verify the truth. And for that matter, does this truth serve me as well? Our values are the things we place importance on, to either have or to avoid. These can be tangible or intangible or experiential things. Example of experiential are our emotions or behavior qualities like love, happiness, creativity, honor, are all values that you might desire to have. Usually the tangible values will result with an experiential one. Ultimately, all roads lead to an emotion. And emotions are built on our meaning that we give things. The saying is that it's never about the event, but the meaning of the event that causes us to feel a certain way is actually true. We may not see it that way, we may not feel it that way, but it is always about the meaning. We also see life through the lens of our emotions. And the quality of our lives is the result of the quality of our emotions. Better emotions, a better quality of life. And so how generally you feel throughout the day determines your general experience throughout your life. But here's an interesting statement from William James. If you can change your mind, you can change your life. And per Henry Ford in Beliefs, if you think you can or think you can, you are right. So if you believe this is the beginning or the end, you're also right. If you think this is a great life or a horrible one, you're also right. Both beliefs and values underpin our experiences and thus our emotions. Now talking about the away values are the ones we wish to avoid, like pain, fear, dishonesty. So asking the seven questions mentioned earlier is part of the process to critical thinking in practical terms. Yeah, clearly there's a lot more to it. But for the purposes of this journey, I'm providing you with relatively simple and easily implementable strategies that can begin to start changing the way that you think best for yourself to make better decisions for yourself. And then begin to investigate on your own different places. And this was my experience. My first step into the world of personal development wasn't the panacea and the answer to everything. It was the first step into my exciting journey of the last 20 years of expanding my awareness of all things. And as we discussed last time with values, you know, values basically is like the compass that we use to determine, okay, are we going north or west or south or east right now? There is an order to what we value. Is love more important than health, or is health more important than love? You know, is wealth more important than honesty, or is honesty and integrity more important than wealth? Depending on that order of your values will also determine what direction you're going in. And so having an awareness of what that is for you can be a revelation as to why you do the things that you do. And when I went through this exercise, probably about 15 years ago, I was really surprised by my first pass on it, recognizing, well, this did not serve me whatsoever, and ultimately developed one that was so much better. And so for me, my order is health, love, and universal connection. And I was surprised by the third one. It says, where did this actually come from? So I'm grateful for that exercise that I went through 20 years ago to recognize that this is also part of why I do what I do. So after values, then of course comes our six human needs. And as we discussed last time, if you're listening for the first time, behavioral psychology has identified six human needs to be able to experience fulfillment. And they include love and connection, significance, certainty, variety, growth, and contribution. Again, like values, there is also a hierarchy of these. And we all have unique vehicles or methods or pathways to satisfy these needs. And this is an important aspect, which I'll discuss right now. You see, the more specific vehicles that align with all the needs, the easier we get to experience fulfillment. Said differently, the things that we do in day in, day out as they serve all these knees all the time or none at all makes the difference of being fulfilled or not. So let's take an example that I had. As a father, I used to coach recreational soccer with my three kids. This satisfied my need for love and connection as they got to connect with my kids in a very special and personal way. Variety, as you can imagine, in teaching a bunch of five-year-olds to play soccer can be quite entertaining. Then contribution, as I'm serving my community. Growth, as I get to learn more flexibility, again, dealing with five-year-old kids and all the things that are happening with them. And then finally, significance, as teaching kids good values can be very, very meaningful. And then, interestingly enough, when I lost that opportunity, then I suddenly lost the ability to have this type of fulfillment. Now, interestingly, if you are a person that would only focus on one need only, so in my case, if I was only focusing on one thing, for example, being significant with this vehicle, I wouldn't experience the level of fulfillment that is actually possible in what I actually did in all six areas. And so without that, one experiences a type of imbalance and dissonance and emptiness. So this was a brief recap of week one of the Doctor's Guide Journey 2022, Pursuit of Personal Transformation and Mastery. You know, with the tools and resources and the intelligence to learn to think better, make better decisions, and have access to the tools and resources that can tap into the brain intelligence, the body intelligence, and the energy intelligence. And I'm really excited to bringing so many of these different distinctions acquired from so many brilliant people around the globe throughout time that will help us understand how to better navigate the world that we live in, identifying in practical terms what are the specific things that we need to be aware of in ourselves in order to have that understanding how these elements are affecting our lives. You know, again, as per Aristotle and Socrates, you know, discover what we don't know that we don't know in order to know oneself is the key. Obviously, that's my modification. Then we can begin to navigate the world around us, as I said, with intelligence and determine the very instances that don't have our best interests in mind. You see, I'm from the opinion that with great power comes great responsibility. And there's two areas or dimensions that we can look at. Our internal one, so we have most power over ourselves, and so we've got great responsibility to address that power. But then there's that power outside of us. And this is with the advancing technology in the world that we live in. And with the very few with the power to massively influence large numbers of people, that also becomes even more relevant. And this is not a new phenomenon, so we should not be shocked that there are forces around us that have a significant impact in how, you know, we get to
live.
But it would be unjust, or let's call it even irresponsible, to simply think that it's everyone else's fault, that we don't have the ability to choose. We do have that ability, how we think and our actions, to ultimately do the best thing we can in the world that's been created around us. It's no different than any other time in history. We cannot simply blame the world for our bad fortune. We must find the means by which we create the reality that we want with whatever is available to us while doing no direct harm to anyone else. And what I mean by this is that, and people might debate this part as I'm critically thinking about my own words, is what I mean by do no harm to others doesn't mean that as we're taking care of ourselves, that we are also held responsible for other people. And this is a phenomenon that's occurring today in the narratives, which I think is really unfair. And so we are responsible for ourselves and our decisions. We are in charge of our brain and therefore our life. So in order for us to better navigate this responsibility that I'm talking about and being able to make decisions, in the first parts of this journey is getting access to the type of insights that can specifically help you make those better decisions. So right now, the first thing that we'll talk about is appreciating how we actually process information so that we can then respond with inspired, intelligent action rather than the impulsive reaction that too often we encounter and that do not serve us. So here's the explanation as to how we actually. An external event happens outside of us, and through our five senses, we capture the details of the event, and the information is then processed, and we have a representation of the event in our conscious mind. So if you're outside walking the dog in the forest, and you observe a rabbit scurrying away from the chasing dog, you will create an internal representation of the events occurring outside of you, and notice the objects, the colors, sounds, air, movements, smells, etc. While a lot is happening in our awareness, there's also a lot happening outside of our awareness. So first, we must appreciate that there is the conscious mind, aware of the right now as you read or listen to me, and anything around you. You might notice a sensation of your feet, which up to this moment you are not aware of, is now in your conscious awareness. Then the other than conscious mind, some refer this to the unconscious or subconscious, but now simply the other than conscious mind, which is running the show, our physiology, amongst other things. It is the other than conscious mind that can also process 2 million bits of information per second, while the conscious mind only processes 200 bits of information per second, which then means that we create only a limited representation of everything that is happening outside of us into our awareness. No different than a map that you read to navigate, you know, through a city or a town or a country is a limited representation of the whole. And this is important to appreciate, since what we notice and what we don't is filtered as a result. Guess what? Our beliefs and our values, but also our experiences, our emotions, our memories, and many other factors. So perhaps you might recollect a time that you're considering or actually looking to buy a new car. And perhaps up to that point, you really did not notice that particular car or its color, and now suddenly you see it everywhere. This is a process of filtering. We process the information by either deleting, distorting, or generalizing what's happening around us because we simply can't handle all the information that is presented to us. And this is important because we also navigate our world with the same filters of deletion, distorting, or generalization, which may or may not serve us. For example, we might generalize by gender, country, race, or epoch, with words like always, never, everyone, and no one, as generalizations in describing specific qualities of these. For example, whilst living in Europe, and I can say this because I grew up as a European, some Europeans would always say that all Americans are blank, 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 blank. You know, an individual might say, I never make mistakes, or they never lie, or it's always a problem. Our use of language is important, as well as its misuse of it and a misrepresentation of what's true. And I like the metaphor of an iceberg. So what's above the water is what's actually being communicated. But what's underneath is everything that is actually being hidden in the meaning or the context of what is being communicated. The reason I bring this up is to help you appreciate how our identity, our beliefs, values, and needs all influence these and will cause us to filter out information to give us an internal representation of the world around us that is very different than the person next to you observing the same events, and inadequate in representing everything that we are trying to communicate. So, neurolinguistic programming is this study that helps us understand how we communicate to the outside world and within ourselves as well. Knowledge of this coding or software of how we process data in our brains gives us the realization that we are indeed in charge of our mind, and therefore we are in charge of our behavior. So we no longer have an excuse. We can't blame the rest of the world for how we're feeling right now. So the question then remains, who is actually driving the bus? I love this idea. Is it you? Or is it someone else in your life that has instilled the specific beliefs that may or not serve you right now? Am I thinking or feeling this way because of my parent, my sibling, my teachers, you know, or the media, whatever that is? You know, this is, again, not a new concept. It's our responsibility to decide, you know, who's in charge right now. Just because someone close to you does not understand your model of the world, your dreams and your ambitions, doesn't mean that you are wrong to have them. Just because you have different opinions about who you are and what you want to do, and for that matter, your own personal health, doesn't mean that you're wrong. You can choose for yourself what's right for you, and no one has the right to take that away from you. And we must become aware of the specific language we use. Then we can begin to see how all of this works. And language is everything. When I say never or always in telling my partner about something they do, as is probably in most cases, it's not a true statement, but it affects our emotional state in the moment. And really, it hijacks our brain. And so we can also be more precise in how we communicate. And because a lack of precision is oftentimes the cause of some of the social interaction problems that we encounter. I mean, you know this. How many times do you have to take back what it is that you said because it wasn't accurate? And another problem is that if we are indeed communicating with someone, the order of the words will make all the difference. Johnny bit the dog, or the dog bit Johnny. Same words, but different order, has a completely different experience, at least for the dog. If I use the words live it versus irritate it, it creates an entirely different emotional and physical experience. Our choice of words matter. I'm a klutz or as being clumsy, an identity versus behavior. I failed versus I am a failure, again, an identity versus a behavior. It creates a completely different internal state of being. And so we must be attentive and aware and intentional and with our precision of what it is that we're saying to others. And again, with the questions, is this true? What if it's not true? What am I focusing on? What does it mean? Now, some people will use positive affirmations to tell themselves something positive, but it may not always work. Just saying it, it's not enough. You actually have to believe what you say and invoke an emotional, physical response for it to stick. We must see that alignment between the conscious and the other. As social beings, we are affected by our internal and external communications. Not being aware of them will cause you to be at the effect of the world around you. Most people are at the effect of what is actually happening around them because they're just simply unconscious of it. And this is a realization I'm hoping that you can appreciate, because statistics show that 97% of the world is at the effect. But you have a choice to be different. And here again is the purpose of this series, in providing you with simple, practical references. I used to call these psychic references, but I wasn't quite comfortable with that term. Practical references that you can use immediately to develop a higher level of consciousness in how you get to influence each moment more intentionally than before. With intention, you have better chances towards your personal transformation and mastery and fulfillment. So let's talk about another idea or another concept, pain and pleasure, and not in the hedonistic sense. Later on in the journey of this year, we will talk about the biochemical basis of pain and pleasure, because this is relevant in how we nurture our bodies and the neurotransmitters that are going around that affect our ability to access pain or pleasure. Here, the focus is on the need to avoid pain and desire to experience pleasure in the context of our daily experience and how it affects our motivation. The strength of the need to avoid pain has more immediate leverage than the pursuit of pleasure. The idea of a particular experience will cause us pain gives us the immediate drive we need to avoid it, but this leverage is not sustainable. Learned hopelessness is an example of that, and perhaps one day we'll talk more about that. The pain of doing our taxes, as an example, is a pain experienced by many until the pain of dealing with the IRS takes over, and then we hurry up and complete them. Wouldn't it be easier to focus on the benefit of completing our taxes on time and not experience any of the pain? Rather, just experiencing the pleasure of not having to ever worry about it. Again, this is related to how we approach things based on our beliefs, our values, our needs, and everything else. The pursuit of pleasure, while less intense, is actually more sustainable long term. While we can dive much deeper into the psychology of both pain and pleasure, for the purpose of today is to bring into context what are we choosing moment to moment based on full awareness of what we really want right now. Critical thinking will bear in mind that our actions will deliver in the moment or in the future based on the decisions that we make at this very moment. Every decision we make now affects our future. While fully cognizant of the state of our own psychology, on the one hand, we can influence our mind, and on the other hand, influence by how we nurture our bodies, like I mentioned just a moment ago. Any transformation we wish to make in our lives must take into account the body as well as the mind and the environment that we live in. How well are we actually taking care of it with what the body needs makes all the difference. It is too easy to take for granted the four pillars of our health: sleep, nutrition, movement, and inner balance. While not being properly dialed into any of these will affect our state of mind. So our journey will be examining each of these dimensions in greater depth. So bear in mind for now, to optimize our health in the best possible way, we must address everything. And that's why I came up with the term HEAPS, Health Optimization Strategies. Simple, straightforward, affordable, easily accessible strategies that can dramatically change. Next week, we will discover what is the starting point and our destiny in practical terms. For now, we must finish today with two important distinctions. First, the if-then principle, and second, how the pain-pleasure principle can get us in trouble. We all have a blueprint of a perfect life, and more on this next time. For now, recognize if your life conditions do not meet this blueprint, then we are not happy. And every moment our brain is checking in with this blueprint. The other than conscious brain is constantly eavesdropping on our conscious mind and determining if the blueprint, your values, your needs, are all aligned with your moment-to-moment thoughts and actions. When there is a misalignment, we don't feel good. The if-then principle explains this easily for us. This principle is simply the cause and effect rule. If I do this, then that happens. Quite simply, all day long, we are running thousands of the if-then algorithms. If the phone rings, I cringe. This is a very common experience that most people actually have. If I wake up, I jump out of bed and go to the gym. Well, I don't. We all have a set of rules throughout the day that is unconscious. Rules also extend to our feelings and our reactions. We have rules to be happy or sad. We have rules to be excited or afraid. Just think about it for a moment. What needs to happen for you to be sad? What needs to happen for you to be happy? What needs to happen for you to be ecstatic? If you're clear about your if-then rules, you can also be clear how to change these rules or the conditions that actually influence them. I find it's always best to write them down, since there are so many of them, and mainly outside of our awareness. And some things we've just simply adopted blindly that actually do not serve us at all. A free-floating anxiety is a term that is currently being thrown around in social media. I'll let you figure out where to find that. It is really the result of having anxiety without clearly associated reason. In a complex world today, with radically changing life situations, and with so much outside of our conscious mind or our awareness or our conscious control, there is much anxiety happening. So understanding these if-then rules is part of the process of our own critical thinking to make better choices. And part of the problem, too, is that we simply handed over the control of the narrative to someone else, and therefore our understanding of the world. And in a sense, we are not in charge of our own thinking. We must always be accountable and responsible for our own thoughts and feelings. Knowing our rules will make it much easier to manage them in any situation. At any given moment, what is wrong is available to you, and so is what's right. You do have that choice. Sentinel moments in your life can be the worst or the best, depending on the meaning you choose and the decisions you make. I find it interesting that more millionaires are made during a downturn in the economy because of choices made. We all have the same number of hours available to us each day of the week. You get to decide how you use them. You are ultimately the summation of all your memories, all your decisions, all your thoughts, all your emotions to this very moment. And as I jokingly like to tell people, it's your fault you're listening to me now. I do know that what does get in the way is what we don't know that we don't know that will actually help us. And herein lies the problem all the time. Whether we're relinquishing that responsibility or others are taking that opportunity away from us. Escaping the constraints of family, culture, or society that has been imposed upon us is not always easy or may even seem possible. But again, per Viktor Frankl, who reminds us in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, the last freedom of man is to choose how they feel in any given moment. How Mandela chose to see his imprisonment as a time to prepare for him becoming the president. And being that it can be very challenging at times, it behooves us to have compassion, not only for others and give them the freedom to choose, but also have compassion for ourselves and about generating the space to freely choose with the right information that you can verify is true or not. It is all about creating a space of generative collaboration and the purpose of all my interviews over the last 6 years, tapping into that collective wisdom to create a space of generative collaboration where we can find a platform to help everyone. It is sad to see how much social disconnection in today's world because of rigid models of the world does not accept that someone else has a different opinion than our own. Again, all behavior is motivated by positive intent based on the morality that was learned and accepted to be as true. It doesn't mean that we have to like or agree with someone else. Rather, simply respect the fact that they must have the freedom to think and act for themselves. I'm shocked how often it is so easy for someone to discredit, disavow, or ostracize someone else for having different thoughts of the world. I find this really quite selfish. And this is what creates so much isolation and disconnected and causes people to make decisions that serve them best because their intent desire to belong. We must simply use practical psychology that is accessible to everyone to elevate our awareness of what is really happening and make the type of decisions that are good for us, that creates an internal alignment, but that is also good for others and also contributes to the greater good. While this may seem so implausible to some, nature has a way to correct this imbalance. And by discovering how to master your own mind and your own body intelligently is the purpose of this journey 2022. I hope you will find a gem or two that I share as I stand on the shoulder of other giants who have taught me these insights. Ultimately, you decide. Use these 7 questions, finding the peaceful awareness within as you navigate the world that has 8 billion different opinions of what is. I'll end this week's journey, The Doctor's Guide, Journey 2022, in pursuit of personal transformation and mastery with this. I grew up in 5 different countries and exposed to many different cultures. And what I saw was wrong on one camp was right in the other. And people were able to live and coexist very, very nicely with that. And so I've been always very passionate about creating change, enhancing life, and generating peaceful awareness. All the work that I do is directed towards this. And over the last 40 years of my medical training and being in practice, I've positioned myself in a place where, as a plastic and reconstructive surgeon, very few other specialties have the same amount of training that I have. Trained with one of the top coaching programs in the world and attended one of the only 2 schools in the United States that are certified for integrated energy healing and essentially have a master's course on that. So I find myself in a very unique position where I can navigate all these different dimensions and lend legitimacy to all of them so that you then can, in good trust, examine them for yourself and verify how any of these are applicable for you. I have found too often that the narrow-mindedness of our approach, particularly in medicine, which has become very myopic in its approach and has filtered out much of the relevant strategies that we need to implement to optimize our health. So for me, this is all about health optimization strategies, bringing to you the brain intelligence, the body intelligence, and the energy intelligence all together for you to digest and figure out where this works for you. So none of this is any kind of specific advice that you must do. I just offer you the options that you can verify for yourself and hopefully will make remarkable changes in your own personal life as I have discovered for myself. And I quite happily share with my family and my friends and you as well. So I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher. This is The Doctor's Guide, Journey 2022, Week 2 for personal transformation and mastery. I thank you. And we'll be back next week. More on how our brain actually works, specifically about what is the starting point today in your life and where do you want to go?
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on StarWorldwideNetworks.com or on demand 24/7.